So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 11, Calculation of Time from the Adam, text number 29. Om, translation in Purapur, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Sri Prabhupada.
When the night of Brahma ensues, all the three worlds are out of sight, and the sun and the moon are without glare, just as in the due course of an ordinary night. Purport. It is understood that the glare of the sun and moon disappear from the sphere of the three worlds, but the sun and the moon themselves do not vanish. They appear in the remaining portion of the universe, which is beyond the sphere of the three worlds. The portion in dissolution remains without sunrise, sun rays, or moon glow. It all remains dark and full of water, and there are indefatigable winds, as explained in the following verses.
Vandeham Sri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Varijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vidamsa Namaho Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutade Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Vishayane
Om Adhyanata Varanda Shaganam Jana Shalakaya Chakshudun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was standing in the darkness of ignorance with my eyes tightly closed shut. Then my spiritual master came to me with a torchlight of knowledge to force my eyes open. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances to him. So, by the mercy of Krishna, we get the Guru. And by the mercy of the Guru, we get Krishna. And these great personalities, the spiritual master and Krishna, are enlightening us as to the reality beyond what we can perceive with our gross senses. For example, this verse in it. Who could know that the sun at a certain time in the duration of the universe, the sun and the moon go beyond the purview of the three worlds and go to a different portion of the universe beyond the sphere of the three worlds? What scientists could tell us that with their telescopes? This is very high level information we're getting here. By hearing from authorities, we can know things as they are. We don't have to do research. Simply by hearing from authority, you can know exactly things as they are. This is the parampara system. Krishna gives the knowledge to Brahma. In this way, Brahma gives to Narada, Narada to Vyas, and Vyas to Madhvacharya. And this way the knowledge is coming down, 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 down. If one puts his faith and hears submissively from the bona fide authority, then he becomes highly learned in transcendental knowledge. Knowledge both of the mundane world and the spiritual world becomes known and realized by that person who submissively hears from the bona fide authority. This hearing is essential. Prabhupada explains to us how he heard from his spiritual master and with keen, very keen interest. This is actually the key. At that time, Prabhupada was a householder. He was a pharmaceutical businessman in Allahabad. He had his Prayag pharmacy, a retail and a hotel wholesale business going on simultaneously. So he heard that Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is going to be on this Vrindavan Parikrama, going to different places in the Holy Dham, giving discourses at this place and that place. So he took the opportunity to go to Vrindavan and hear from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he speaks in very, very erudite English. The materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. A very, very sophisticated English. So, in the evening time, there's darshan and there's pravachan. You could go to either one. So practically everyone goes for darshan. Practically no one comes. Because they can't follow what Guru Maharaj is talking about. What's he saying? They can't figure out what he's talking about. So they go for the darshan instead. So, only a few sannyasis would be there. And one pharmaceutical businessman from Allahabad named Abhay Charan Day, he would be sitting there. And he said, I would understand, or I would not understand, but still I would go on hearing. And Guru Maharaj marked me that this boy likes to hear. Just like in ISKCON, when the temple authorities are recommended the spiritual master, we'd like to recommend this devotee for initiation. So the same thing in the Gaudiya Mata. So the devotees in Allahabad, and they recommended the Abhay Charan Day for Diksha. Bhaktisiddhanta immediately said, oh yes, the others go away, but he hears nicely, therefore I will accept him as my disciple. So Prabhupada said that because I heard nicely, now I can speak nicely. So this is the key, really. If you want to become solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness, you want to become Paka Vaishnava, solidly fixed. Simply learn how to hear, that's all. Learn how to hear. Take deeply the knowledge within your heart, and the magical transformation will take place. If you don't learn how to hear from Guru and Vaishnavas, you will simply be caught up on the mental plane, hearing your own mind in its bizarre ramblings. Your mind will carry you. This is called Manovratta, the chariot of the mind. It will carry you from one birth to another birth to another birth to another birth. Until you can learn how to submissively hear from the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, you will be a slave of your mind, and the mind is not a very good master. So learn how to hear from the Guru. Learn how to hear from the Vaishnavas. Learn how to hear the Shastric vision, the Vedic wisdom. See that everything through the eyes of the scripture is explained in the books, explained by the spiritual master, is explained by the Vaishnavas. See everything through the eyes of the scripture. This is called Shastra Chakshu. One who can see through the eyes of the scripture, he sees things as they are. If one does not see through the eyes of scripture, he does not see things as they are. He may think he sees things as they are, but he is deluded. He is not seeing things as they are. So we have to come out of the cloud of Maya, we have to come out of the cloud of delusion, the cloud of confusion, and awaken to the transcendental platform by taking this wisdom very, very seriously. Sometimes we're bewildered by descriptions of the sun and the moon and various things. It doesn't seem to match what we hear from our scientist friends.
As I was explaining yesterday, the scientists are always, the day before yesterday, the scientists are always changing their version of reality. It's changing all the time. What you study in today's chemistry textbook go 10 years ago is quite different. They're always changing it, you see. That's not knowledge. Knowledge does not change. Vedic wisdom does not change. So we're not interested in this temporary knowledge which keeps changing and changing and changing and changing and changing. That will not liberate us. That is not actual knowledge. That is avidya, or ignorance, masquerading as vidya, our knowledge. If you want actual knowledge, you must go to that person who really knows things as they are. Who knows things as they are? Does a speculator know things as they are? The author actually knows. The one who creates it, he actually knows. Prabhupada gives a very nice example. There was one playwright, Mr. Roy, Bengali playwright. He wrote one drama called Shah Jahan. Shah Jahan, you may know, he's the one who made the Taj Mahal. So, the whole play, though, was about his son, his rascal son, Aurangzeb, who killed his brothers. He put his own father, Shah Jahan, in prison in the Agra fort, and he wreaked havoc on India. We know what a rascal he was. He to the Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan. Aurangzeb was the biggest tyrant. The whole play was about the tyranny of Aurangzeb, so one man was wondering, how could it be called Shah Jahan? The play was all about Aurangzeb, so he asked, how do you find out why it's called Shah Jahan? You go to the author himself. He said, oh yes, because he is the actual, Shah Jahan is the actual hero of this drama. Because he's locked there in the Agra fort in his dungeon cell. He's hearing of the atrocities of his son Aurangzeb, and they're beating on his heart. So he's the actual hero. Therefore, I've named it Shah Jahan. So how could you figure out that why is it called Shah Jahan? You have to ask the author. So who is the author of existence? Who is the author of the creation? That is Krishna. You see, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Mataksaram Pravartate. Everything comes from me. So who can explain reality better than that person who is manifesting it from his transcendental body? Everything that's going on is the energy of Krishna. There's nothing that exists outside of the energy of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the perfect knower of everything that's going on in the material world and the spiritual world. So we hear from Krishna, we get perfect knowledge of reality. That's why we have to hear from Krishna. Raja Vidya Raja Gugyam Pavittam Idam Uttamam Pachakshavagamam Sharadangam Shushukam Gatamam Gugyam. This knowledge is the king of all education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. And it is ecstatically performed. What does that mean, the perfection of religion? That tells us that there's also an imperfect form of religion. And that's what's going on nowadays in the world. We have imperfect religion. Sectarianism. Approaching God as the order supplier. That is the imperfection of religion. But when you come to one religion, ekadharma, that one has to fully surrender to the will of the Supreme in love, not trying to merge and become him, that's envy. But try to serve him with love, to satisfy his desires.
That is the perfection of religion. The word religion actually comes from the Latin word, religio, which means to relink. So actually the word religion and the word yoga, which is also means to link, there are some synonyms there. Religion is yoga and yoga is religion, but that is not understood nowadays because they perverted religion. Yoga is also perverted. It's just some exercises for good health. So we have to educate the people nowadays. What is the real meaning of religion? What is the real meaning of yoga? Linking or yoking with the divine. Relinking with the divine. As Prabhupada used to say, dovetail your consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. We have to harmonize ourselves with Krishna. Just like take a guitar, for example. If the strings are tuned properly, when you strum a chord, then it sounds very beautiful. But if the strings are not properly tuned, and they're out of tune, it sounds horrible. Instead of consonants, you have dissonance. So we have to be in a state of consonance with the Lord, attuned to His will. That my Lord, now let my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances be completely harmonious with You. It's not that you become Krishna, is it? But you become harmonious with Krishna. This is bhakti. Become in a state of harmony with Krishna. What does Krishna want? Let my desire be to fulfill whatever desire Krishna has. I still have my individual desires, but let me dovetail them with Krishna's desires. Let my desire be to do whatever Krishna desires me to do. Actually, this knowledge is also there in the Bible, but the Christians are too blind to see it. Jesus prays, "Our Father who art in heaven, not my will, but thy will be done." That is pure bhakti. Don't try to act for your own independent fulfillment of desire anymore. That is conducted on the mental plane. Try to see what Krishna wants you to do. That is revealed through the spiritual master. Try to understand what Krishna wants you to do, and then do that. And then you become perfect. You become in a state of complete harmony with Krishna. That's the true ekatvam of oneness. The devotee has a better state of oneness than the Mayavadi. The Mayavadi, even if he achieves Brahman realization, it's only temporary, as confirmed in the Bhagavatam. Avyuya Krishna Param Padam Tada Patanti Adho. He falls down again into material existence. So what is the value of that oneness? What is the value of that oneness? It's only temporary. I remember years ago, when I was a young brahmachari in our Dallas temple, back in 1972, there was one prisoner at a nearby low-security prison who got a weekend or a Sunday afternoon pass to come to the Sunday love feast. So I went and picked him up, brought him to the love feast, and then after the feast I drove him back to the prison. So he was out of the prison. Right? He's no longer an inmate, right? Not really. It appears that he was out of the prison, but actually he was still an inmate. So when the Mayavadi is merged in Vermont, it appears they are liberated. But they aren't really liberated. They just have a weekend pass. That's why it's stated, Vimukti Maninath. It's liberation in the mind only. They're not really liberated. They think they're liberated, but it's actually not true liberation. So their oneness is inferior.
Their oneness with God is inferior because it's only a temporary relief from the three modes of material nature before they fall back down in the three modes of material nature. But the devotee, you see, his oneness is perfect because he will always be one with the Lord in purpose. It will be two and one simultaneously. Actually, for the Mayavad, there's no question of love, because if you become the object of your devotions, you can't have devotion anymore. You see? Love cannot exist in impersonal Brahman. Therefore, they are not satisfied. They come back to try to enjoy so-called love in this material world, because they're not qualified to go to the higher realm of pure love in Goloka Vrindavan. So let us learn how to love Krishna. That's the real bottom line. If you can learn how to love Krishna, then your life becomes perfect. So you say, "But he's so, how can I love him? He's so far away." But you know, he's come, his nama, Krishna nama. Just try to love the name Krishna. That's what the kirtan is for, to help you awaken feelings of love for Krishna nama. Because Krishna Nama and Krishna are the same. Even Prabhupada calls the Nama in Chaitanya Charitamrita Nama Prabhu. The Nama is a person. When you say Krishna, that's a person. That's not just a sound vibration. That is the person Krishna himself directly appearing. So just try to fall in love with Krishna. Try to give your heart to Krishna. When the kirtan is there, the japa is there, just try to go deep, 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 deep into Krishna Sangha. This is how you'll become liberated from the material existence. This is how you will achieve that divine state of consciousness known as Krishna consciousness, in which there is no coming back to this material world. Once you become purely fixed in Krishna consciousness, there is no danger of ever falling down into material existence ever again. So just try to achieve this state of Krishna consciousness. That will be the perfection of your existence. So I think there's some questions here. I'll try to answer them. I am associating with devotees, and I like their association, but but seeing their life, I am scared that I will not be able to live this type of life. Please guide me in brief how I can overcome my attachments and become like the devotees. Well, it's a matter of getting a higher taste. I mean, maybe you're addicted to watching movies or something like that, but and you're afraid of giving it up. But you just have to understand, everything that you may enjoy right now, you're afraid of giving up. There's something much better in Krishna consciousness. You just have to learn to experience the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. And then you'll have no anxiety about giving up the lower tastes. So I would advise you to just get a higher taste for kirtan, for prasadam, for the books, for the preaching activities. Just dive into these things with full sincerity of attitude, and then Krishna will bless you with a higher taste so that you can not be afraid of giving up those things that now you think are tasteful. They're not really tasteful, they're poisonous, but you're thinking they're tasteful. In previous classes, you stated that the Diksha Guru takes the responsibility for his disciple. He takes birth again and again until his disciple is delivered. But we see in ISKCON, we see that the Diksha Guru had fallen and left ISKCON. So how to understand this? Sometimes gurus do fall by the wayside. Even in the Vedas, we see that happen. With that Shukracharya, he was the spiritual master of Vali Maharaj. Swami Maharaj was dedicated to his spiritual master, but then when Vamana Dev came, and Swami Maharaj wanted to surrender to Vamana Dev, his Guru Maharaj said no. So when he said, what is this nonsense? This is not a woman by spiritual master, I reject you. So sometimes it happens that someone who appears to be guru is not really qualified. You just have to move on and do what you're supposed to do according to higher authorities. That's what the Bali Maharaj did. And what was the result? He became one of the 12 great Mahajanas. After rejecting his guru, he became one of the 12 great Mahajanas. So, if one is unfortunately taking shelter of a person who's not really worthy of taking shelter, you have to just move on and take shelter somewhere else. It's not required to get reinitiated, it's an option available. Some devotees will do that, some don't. But you do have to take shelter of other devotees. That's a fact. Can you please share a transcendental memory of your association with Vishnu Jana Swami? Yes. I had not yet joined. I was checking out the Hare Krishna movement. I was going to the evening programs. They were quite cool. There was no temple in Austin at that time. But Vishnu Jana Swami would go every day to the university campus. He'd set up a blanket, kirtan, tons of simply wonderful, as much as you wanted. And he'd say, invite me to your home and I'll turn your home into a temple. So every night he'd go to a different home and have a program. And a very nice prasadam, very simple, but very just loaded with bhakti. And the sweetest, most wonderful, his kirtans were so amazing, they would actually carry you to Vaikuntha, as confirmed by Prabhupada himself. When we were in Austin, he got a letter from Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, when you were singing the kirtan in Los Angeles, I could feel how I was being carried to Vaikuntha. And when I read that letter, I said, yeah, that's right. You could feel it. It was mystical. The power of his kirtan would take you into another dimension. You could experience it in his kirtan. So, he would lead his mystical kirtans, give his wonderful lectures, the wonderful prasadam. But anyway, I was feeling a little thirsty. We were in the home of one interested soul named Robin Ferris. So I went into Robin's kitchen to get a drink of water. And for some reason or other, I don't know why, whether it was planned or coincidental, but Vishnu Jana Swami also came to the kitchen. So all the guests are in the other room and he and I are alone in the kitchen. And he gives me a very poignant instruction. He says, of course, now remember the background. This is the hippie movement days, You take this, you smoke this to try to get high, right? That was the idea. Stay high forever by smoking this, drinking that, whatever. So he looked at, we were all into being intoxicated. That was supposed to be the thing to do, get intoxicated on marijuana or LSD and things like that. So he looks at me very soberly and he says, you have to become sober. And I'm like, wow. It blew my mind. Had to become sober? I thought that's not supposed to be sober. That's the uncool thing, to be sober. But wow, now sober was the cool, the enlightened state was sobriety. I never thought of such a thing. You have to become sober. That went deep, deep, deep. So I'm making an experiment. No more smoking marijuana, no more LSD for 6 months. Make an experiment. And see the difference. And wow, what a difference. So here I am. Okay. Can you please describe Krishna's Asta Kali Lila? Well, that's a whole class. An amazing story. I mean, what I find the most intriguing about it is the way Krishna was dancing on Kali's hood. Because Kali was trying to kill him, okay? Kali's like trying to grab him and kill him. But Krishna was Krishna was so expert dancer, he would step on the different heads, just like he was on a stage. But actually he was up on the hoods of Kaliya, he could step on each hood as it tried to get him. Just step on the hood and press it down. He was gradually subduing Kaliya, dancing on all these heads that were trying to kill Krishna. So I advise sometimes my students, if you're having a difficult time with the material energy, just dance on the heads of the head of it. Dance on the head of the material nature. If Maya's trying to get you in this way, dance on the head of all of Maya's attacks. And you'll conquer Maya. Okay, how can we stay fixed, nishtha, in Krishna consciousness? That's why having a spiritual master, there's three things to become. Just like this microphone is solidly fixed to. It's not jumping around. It's solid, you can see. This microphone is not moving. It's solidly fixed. Why? Because there's three legs there. If there was two, it wouldn't be fixed. If there was one, it wouldn't be fixed, you see. Three legs makes this microphone solidly fixed. So the three legs are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. They're given by Rupa Goswami. Shelter, diksha, and obedience. If you want to be solid like this microphone, not wavering, then you got to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. You have to confirm that shelter by a vow of eternal commitment to it. And then you have to keep your vow by always being obedient. If you will do these three things, you will be pakka, you will be solid in Krishna consciousness. Yesterday you mentioned that sex life is detrimental, but I don't feel convinced about it. Could you please? No. Illicit sex is not detrimental. Only illicit sex is detrimental. If you have sex life for sense gratification, that is the gateway to hell. That will take you down into the animal kingdom in your next birth. Because sex life is actually only meant for procreation. It's not meant for recreation. So, and you can look at it practically. What is the result of illicit sex? Unwanted children, divorce, so much suffering is going on in the world simply due to illicit sex. So it's unwanted children, children being killed, children being abused. This is all from illicit sex. Are the sun eclipse and the moon eclipse are good or bad? Explain. I'll pass on that one for now. I'll take some philosophical questions. How to go past physical pains and bodily excuses to serve more? Well, you do have to take care of your body and not neglect it. You shouldn't just completely neglect your health. You have to take care of your health. That's an important thing. For what purpose? So you can do as much service as possible. The mood of the devotee is to always be engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day. So he gives the body sufficient rest, sufficient food, sufficient whatever is required so the body can go on being engaged in Krishna service. Physical pains are always there. We have pains and pleasures of this material world. That is the nature of the material world. We have to tolerate, it's called sukha-dukkha, the happiness and the distress. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. Therefore, one must learn to tolerate them, O sign of Bharata, without being disturbed. Just like when I come to Melbourne, for example, when I come this time of the year, you have to tolerate the cold. When I come when it's warm, I have an allergy problem. I have a horrible itching in my eyes when I come during the warm time. You have to tolerate that too. Both times I have to face discomfort when I come to Melbourne. Every time I come, either the cold or the itching. But there's so much nectar here, it's worth tolerating it. I mean, I could just not come anymore. But the nectar far outweighs the austerity of tolerating the cold and the itching. You see? Far, far. It outweighs it by a million times. So hey, you just got to see where it's worth tolerating all this. Whatever you have to tolerate to taste the Krishna, taste the bliss of Krishna consciousness. What is the most inspiring thing you've experienced in your life in Krishna consciousness? Wow. I never thought about that. 44 years, what would be the most inspiring thing in 44 years? So many inspiring things. Getting my Brahman feather, Prabhupada, just sitting alone with Prabhupada in the room, that was pretty special. You know, that would be very special. That one moment when it was just me and Prabhupada all alone. The whole movement was out there and somewhere else, and just me and Prabhupada all alone in the room. That was a very special moment. Who can deny that? Prabhupada taught me how to chant the Gayatri and how to count on the fingers. I was a little confused because there's ten mantras, the seven mantras, and you chant each one 10 times. So I was wondering, do you do the first one, and the second one, the third one, and then do loop 10 times? Or do you do the first one 10 times and the second one 10 times, like that? Which way do you do it? I was a little confused. And I was nervous as I would get out there with Prabhupada all alone, you know. And I was nervous and I was trying to understand. And so Prabhupada could see I was nervous and confused. And he just started doing it. He showed me. Om, blah, blah, blah. He just started doing it. He demonstrated it. So made it very clear to me. That was a very special moment in my life, I can tell you. That moment I was Prabhupada. I became so inspired after that. I thought, I want to be Prabhupada's cook. And I could cook. I was a Brahmin. And so I was just thinking, I'm going to learn how to cook very expertly so someday I can be Prabhupada's cook. I get so inspired to do that. I work till midnight. How can I get up for Mangalarti? Well, I know what an interesting story in this connection. When I first started, when I was a brahmachari for 14 years, completely, you know, habituated to going to Mangalarti absolutely every day. Even one day we were, at one point we were all, the whole brahmachari ashram came down with hepatitis. We were all completely ill, just laid out on our backs. But the GBC came and ordered us to go to Mangalarti every day. And we would just struggle down the stairs, like 10 of us. And we just, you know, sit back against the wall like, and go to Mangalarti. And Bhagavatam class also, we had to struggle, get up out of our... I mean, my eyes were so yellow, like a canary. And I swore that I would never enjoy prasadam ever again. It tasted so horrible to eat anything. Even water, I would vomit. That's how sick we were. You drink water and you vomit the water. I mean, it was bad. But the GBC said, you have to go to Mangalarti and Bhagavatam every day. So we did. And we advanced by doing that. So I've been trained that way. You don't miss Mangalarti no matter what. Doesn't matter, come hell or high water, you go to Mangalarti and that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. So now I'm married, and my first job, I was babysitting this mainframe computer, running all these programs for Credit Bureau. And the job was from 11 at night till 8 in the morning. Mangalarti. What to do about Mangalarti? Oh my God. Like, you know, it was horrible. So I went, the first day I went in there, the boss said, you know, Wes Hillpot was the name. He said, you know, nobody likes to work this night shift, so we don't mind if you take an extra long lunch break, an hour, an hour and a half. We don't mind. Wow, there it was. Mangalurt. At 4 o'clock, I would head out and go by the department, pick up Vishnu Priya Manaji, go to the temple, attend the full Mangalarti, then drive back to work. It was fantastic. So you have to have a strong desire. Now, he's working until midnight. That's a little different hours. It depends on what you do during the day. If you have two jobs, then it's pretty tough. But if you only have one job, why don't you come home, chant your rounds, study, go to Mangalarti, and then take rest, something like that. Be creative. Have fun with it. You know? Don't be a stereotyped person. Be an innovative person. See what you can do. Have fun with it. Wow, you know, I can chant my rounds in the middle of the night. There'll be no disturbance. I can study. Probably get up at midnight. You can take rest at 10 and get up at 12. And take an hour and a half after lunch. So if Prabhupada can get up at midnight, why you can't get up at midnight? And have a nice program, you see. And then take rest later on during the day. Like, be innovative, you know. Have fun with it. What is the difference between religion and spirituality? Well, genuine religion is the perfection of spirituality. Why devotees dance in front of Lord Krishna? Because he's so beautiful. That's why we dance. It's ecstatic to dance for the most beautiful person in all existence. How do we surrender to Krishna? What do we need to do for that? You have to surrender to his devotee, the spiritual master. Put yourself fully under the orders of the spiritual master. That's how you surrender to Krishna. How can I balance my material studies and spiritual life? First priority is spiritual life. First thing, you chant very good rounds. You make sure you're only taking prasadam. First thing, Krishna, and then everything else will come. Where is it mentioned in the scriptures that the person who speaks to the impersonal Brahman has falls down? Aruya Krishna Parampadam Vada Patanti Yadavya Nashadushma Dangriya. It's in the Bhagavatam. You can look it up. I don't know the verse number. Look, if you have a database, look under Aruya. Aruya. Or look under Patanti, P-A-T-A-N-T-Y, Patanti Adho, A-D-H-O. If you look, you have the database, type in Patanti Adho, and you'll find the verse. If not, ask somebody who has the database. Or you can send me an email, I'll give you the exact verse number, sda@backtohome.com. When I start chanting after Mangalarti, I'm very sleepy and tired. I keep falling asleep during japa. When I sleep an extra 2 hours and I start chanting at 6:30, I have more energy and my japa is much more attendance, so I don't know what to do. Get up and walk while you're chanting around. Prabhupada used to do that. There's a video of Prabhupada walking in his quarters in Los Angeles, chanting japa, pacing back and forth in his quarters. You can walk up and down in the temple room and chant your rounds. Okay. What is the cause of bhakti? Bhakti is causeless. It's simply the mercy of Krishna. It's the natural propensity of the heart. You simply have to get back to your original pure state before you became polluted by the influence of the material modes of nature. Although we are in the offensive stage of chanting, committing other offenses, we are constantly aware of it and have the desire to purify. If we are constantly aware of it and have the desire to purify, will we rise? Yeah, if you have a desire to perfect your chanting, Krishna will definitely help you. My dear Lord, please bless me. I can develop a pure name. If you beg Krishna, please bless me that I can purely chant your name, I can become free from all the offenses. Krishna will definitely help you. You simply have to sincerely, desirely become a pure devotee, and Krishna will help you. What are some of the practical tips for enhancing our chanting and service attitude? Well, I just gave you one. And the same thing in service. You have to pray to Krishna, please let me serve you purely without any desire for profit, adoration, and distinction. Where does God come from? God comes from Himself. Ramandi Murti Shakalandi Amena Tishtana Navatana Makarod Bhuvaneshu Gintu Krishna Svayam Samabhavat Paramatpumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. This verse tells us where Krishna comes from. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested Himself as Krishna. So Krishna comes from Govinda. And who is Govinda? Govinda is Krishna. So Krishna comes from Krishna. If He came from somewhere else, He wouldn't be God. You understand? God means that person who is the origin of everything, including Himself. He doesn't come from somewhere else. If He did, that somewhere else, or that something else would be God, not Him. Is nature consciousness the same as God? Some people say that to me nature is God, and if nature is, that is my religion, that nature is God. I worship nature. Of course, it is a manifestation of God. It's the Virat Rupa. It is a form of God. Nature is a form of God. But it's not the original form of God. That is Krishna. Is Krishna consciousness the only way to control the senses? Well, Ram consciousness will work too. Prabhupada even said Christ consciousness. Prabhupada even said universal consciousness. One time he used that term. The whole idea is you have to dovetail your consciousness with the Supreme. Whether you call Him Krishna, Allah, Jehovah, that's not a big deal. There's thousands and millions of names for the Supreme. Now the word Krishna is the most potent of them because it is the all-inclusive name that includes all the other names within it. If you want to take one name that has the most power and the most potency to liberate you, then take Krishna. If you think Krishna is something Hindu, okay, chant Allah or chant Christ. Prabhupada also is a name for God, Jesus Christ. He said Jesus is the Son and Christ is the Father. Jesus Christ, like John Smith, and Mr. Smith is his father, and he is the son, John, the son of Mr. Smith. So, Jesus Christ. Christ is the Father, and Jesus is the Son. So, whether you say Christ, or Allah, or Jehovah, to address the Supreme, that's not an issue. But the issue is you have to dovetail your consciousness with that Supreme consciousness, that Supreme person. Everything must be done to please Him. You no longer act on your own whims. You do everything for His satisfaction. Yesterday, you were mentioning in class that we should kick out laziness to advance in spiritual life. Sometimes, even though we try and pray sincerely as well, old conditioning comes back. And it's very hard to resist. How to develop the resolute determination to overcome old habits? You have to just keep trying and trying and trying, like a kid learning how to walk. No matter how many times your past bad habits come back and mess you up in your Krishna consciousness, you have to pick yourself up again and again and again. And sooner or later you will master it. You will get over the tendency to revert back to your past conditioning. There will come that day when your past conditioning will be history. Totally history, and no longer torture you. How do we understand reciprocation by deities? There are so many examples in the scriptures. We've even seen it in Atlanta. I've told the story many times. And we were in the Atlanta Temple, Georgia, USA. The big festival, the Panihati Festival. It's a big thing. Jayapataka Swami always comes. It's his, traditionally, he's been coming there for decades for that festival. It's a big festival. Devotees come from all over the U.S. They make hundreds and hundreds of pots of chip rice and yogurt. And anybody gives a donation, they get a chip rice pot. And everybody gives donations. And you get your chip rice, very, very wonderful chip rice and yogurt, with all kinds of varieties, hundreds of varieties of chip rice and yogurt clay pots. It's an incredible festival. So during the noon kirtan, the arati, an amazing thing happened. They have a Prabhupada deity, just like this one here. An amazing thing happened. Prabhupada's sitting there, and someone noticed that from Prabhupada's bright eye, the tears were coming from Prabhupada's eye. Prabhupada was crying in ecstasy from the kirtan. So someone called Jai Pataka Swami to look at it. He confirmed, yes, Prabhupada is crying. And we immediately stopped everything. We had Guru Puja for Prabhupada. So the deities are there, and sometimes they show extraordinary things. And we have to understand that Krishna is actually there. Prabhupada is actually here. We have to treat them like that. If you treat the deity like Krishna, you'll experience Krishna. If you treat the deity as an idol, you have no experience of Krishna. You treat the deity as Krishna, and you will experience the deity as Krishna. Today is International Yoga Day. Can you please comment on the practicality of increasingly using yoga as a means of preaching? Yeah, it's a very effective thing. Even Prabhupada had one of his sannyasis was teaching yoga to the daughter of the Shah of Iran before the revolution, the royal family. So yoga is a very good way to, teaching yoga has proven to be very effective in Krishna consciousness. I remember years ago, Tamal Krishna Goswami pioneered it in Hong Kong, and they had a whole elaborate program of teaching yoga, which gradually brought them to Krishna consciousness, and many people became devotees from those yoga classes. There were in this, the whole strategy of how to do it was engineered by Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and it was very effective. Mm-hmm. Mahaprabhu's movement is meant to spread to every town and village of the world. However, the people who claim to be unaffiliated to any religion are the fastest and growing group. Can you please comment? Well, oftentimes, in this age, pseudo-religion definitely is more popular than genuine religion. Cheating, Kaitava Dharma, or cheating religion, is prominent in this age. How many people are engaged in cheating religion? In fact, the whole world, with the exception of a small percentage of atheists. Practically everyone is engaged in some sort of cheating religion where they take God as the order supplier. That's natural, because it's a Kali Yuga. But this Chaitanya's movement is a counter-energy. Kali is a certain type of energy that just captured the whole human civilization. But Lord Chaitanya is manifesting a more powerful Shakti. It is called Gaura Shakti. That Gaura Shakti is more powerful than Kali Shakti. And in due course, it is predicted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Such Janna Durjanna Pangu, Janda Anagana, Prema Vanyaya Dubaila, Jagatada Jana. This Krishna consciousness movement is a Prema Tsunami, a tidal wave of Prema. It will inundate the entire universe, drowning everyone, whether they're lame, invalid, blind, pious or impious, everyone will become drowned in this inundation of Krishna Bhakti. So, time is on our side, although it's going to be a while. Of course, Prabhupada said in 18 days it could happen. It depends on us, on our level of purity. But the more we become merged in the ecstasies of Krishna consciousness, which includes sharing that with the outside world as much as we possibly can, this thing will take off like a rocket. Even we see sometimes the most small, insignificant thing can bring about the greatest transformation, just like this whole thing they call the Arab Spring. One little incident in Tunisia, there's a huge reaction, that whole big transformation happened in the Arab world from one little incident in Tunisia. So one little thing of Lord Chaitanya's, anything you do, I mean, it actually, you never know. You could distribute a book to somebody, and by that one act of book distribution, it could set off a reaction which completely turns the whole world upside down. I mean, you don't know where those books will go when you go on a book distribution. So we just have to keep doing everything we can, and I guarantee you, it may not happen in our lifetimes, or it could happen at any minute. There could be a miraculous mass transformation of the global consciousness at any time. We have to be ready. There was a country in Eastern Europe, the government asked the devotees to guide them how to run the country. The devotees said, we don't know what to, we can't do that. That was a great mistake. What if the Prime Minister of Australia said, I just got one of your books and I understand Prabhupada has the vision of how to solve all the problems of this country, so you please come and train me how to run Australia according to the way that please Prabhupada. Are you ready to train him? Are you ready? Or do you have an ideal society that will convince him of the viability of such a Christianization of Australia? You understand what I'm saying? We have to be ready to take the leadership of this planet by having ideal relationships, loving relationships with each other. Everyone, the ISKCON family, there must be ideal loving relationships. A beautiful spiritual communities must be thriving all over the world. When that happens, we're all set to take over the world. You see? We have to perfect our relationships between husband and wife, between God brothers and God sisters, etc. Fathers and sons, sons and daughters, all this stuff. It has to be all perfected. We have to show the ideal society so that we can convince them that they should take up Krishna consciousness as the guiding principle for every nation on this planet. Can you please share what helped you the most in your spiritual practice, brahmacharya or grihastha? Both of them are absolutely wonderful. They're both absolutely wonderful. Brahmachari life is absolutely wonderful. Grihastha life. Of course, I never became a grihastha. I went straight to vanaprastha. I never tried to raise a family. In fact, we were actually, Shridhar Swami said, we were living in a van, distributing Bhagavad Gitas. And we had no house. We had no griha. We had a van. So he said, you were vanaprastha. Can you please comment on increasingly widespread religious wars for so-called socio-geographical gains? It's complete perversion of religion. It's absolutely perversion of religion. It's not religion. They want to establish dharma based on their scriptures. No, they're just greedy materialists using the name of scripture for their own greedy, lusty, angry motives. That's all. It's disgusting. How is the Mahabharata any different? Complete world of difference.
The verse you were looking for.
Huh? Oh, you found it? What's the text number?
Text number is 10 to 32.
That's the verse that describes that the person must fall down. 10 to 32, Bhagavatam. In one of your lectures you said, try and go deeper, deeper, and deeper in chanting and kirtan. What does that really mean? Well, maybe it's hard to explain. But you have to find devotees who are doing it, and through osmosis, you see, through to, you have to see devotees, find devotees who go deep, deep, deep into kirtan, deep, deep, deep into Krishna Nam, and try to just ride on their coattails, you see, take advantage of that mood. You can hear it in Prabhupada's tapes, the way he's chanting. You can hear so many different devotees who go deep into kirtan. Just try to enter into that, get into the same mood that they're in, then you'll know what it means. If everyone tries to start being devotees, start being living a pleasant life, what about people who are violent and bad? Well, Krishna conscious doesn't mean that you, the Krishna conscious culture has a kshatriyas to protect the innocent people from the demons. It's not that everyone becomes brahmana. There are kshatriyas also, because there are wicked elements who will exploit innocent people. So in a Vedic culture, you have the kshatriyas who protect the innocent people from the exploitation of demoniac people. Do you think a little harshness is required to overpower such people? It can be even to the point of killing them if necessary. Yeah. If the demons attack, you may have to kill them to protect the innocent people. The kshatriyas know the art of killing. It's a religious duty for them. If someone attacks, the kshatriya can kill them. Just like our government. We have your Australian government. Sometimes the policeman kills someone. It's not considered sin. It's considered protecting the society. It's the same principle. If we have a Krishna conscious government, it's not that we won't have any police or any military, but it won't be as, we won't need so much like we do now. It can be minimized. It is very hard to deal with non-devotees, materialists, and our theory is to deal with everyone with humility. How do we understand how to deal with them? Well, sometimes when you're dealing with materialists, sometimes you have to be tough to protect yourself from being exploited. Prabhupada gives the example of the Narada Muni had a disciple who was a cobra. And that cobra previously was harassing the villagers, scaring them like anything. They were in great fear of the cobra. Now he's become a Vaishnava. The children are beating him with sticks. So he wanted to know, what should I do, Guru Maharaj? They're beating me with sticks. He said, you show your hood, but don't bite. So Prabhupada had the devotees, and there was some problem with the dacoits at Mayapur. So the devotees had some guns, and Prabhupada said, fire the gun to the sky, you know, shoot the guns. So the dacoits would know, oh, they have guns, we better not go there. So sometimes you have to show some strength. If somebody is exploiting you, you have to show strength. Just like when it works quite well sometimes. I know I was, one day I was out passing out Simply Wonderfuls on the street in Gainesville, Florida, on University Avenue. Everybody is Simply up and down the street. So one smart aleck hippie said, he was a Hare Krishna, I'm going to get him. He took his hand and kawam, he knocked all the sweets out in the middle of the street. So I was never a violent person. I'm not really strong enough to get away with it anyway. But I can be very dramatic. Actually, I was in drama school in the University of Texas. So this is what I did. I'll try to demonstrate it. I'll put it on. I'll throw the whammy on you. You can handle it. You better get out there and pick up all those sweets right now! Like that. And he went, he flipped. And he ran down the street and picked up all the sweets. So sometimes being heavy it works. Sometimes it's good to be heavy. In fact, guru means heavy, isn't it? Because sometimes a disciple needs to be shocked out of his delusion. He needs some heavy chastisement. So sometimes we have to be heavy. Everyone's supposed to be a guru, so sometimes you have to be. The ISKCONites are all supposed to be gurus at Lord Chaitanya's order, so sometimes a guru has to be heavy when he's preaching to snap the people out of their illusion.
Okay. Can you please describe your favorite pastime for Mahaprabhu's Leela? There's so many wonderful pastimes in Mahaprabhu's Leela. I'll see what one comes to mind. So many. Certainly the pastime at the Shiva's Angan is very, very sweet. Because Lord Chaitanya was he's the undercover incarnation. He was not revealing himself as Krishna, but at the Shiva's Angan in that kirtan, we celebrate that pastime with the Gaura Arti song. At that time, he revealed himself as Krishna, the Supreme. And devotees worship him as the Supreme Lord. It was a very special moment in Chaitanya Leela at Shiva's Angan. So that's certainly one of the highlights of Gaura Leela. That we celebrate every time we sing Gaura Arti. When we fall in from the spiritual world, we are not affected by the three modes of material nature. But how come we become so polluted and we don't even realize it as spirit soul anymore? Let me see if I can edit this question. Understanding the gist of the question. So, originally we are not in the modes of nature. So how is it that we end up in this position of being in the modes of nature? As I explained, I believe yesterday, Prabhupada says it is misuse of independence. That free will has to be there, otherwise love cannot exist. Love cannot be forced. Love must be voluntary, therefore there has to be the opportunity to misuse your free will, otherwise love cannot exist. And therefore it sometimes happens because it's there, there's a potential of misuse of the free will. Sometimes it happens. And that's why we got here. If I come at 12:30 p.m., as per your guidance, if I remain... Oh, this is the Mangal Arti person. Now they're sticking it to me now. Let's see here. If I come at 12:30 p.m., well, the temple isn't open then. You can't come at 12:30 p.m., the gate's closed, it's locked. If I remain awake till Mangal Arti, then I'll miss out on the Bhagavatam. Well, they just stay up for Bhagavatam. And then go to sleep after Bhagavatam. How much rest? You have to see how much time you have in the day, how much time you need for sleeping, and how much time you need to work, and then and how much time you need for your sadhana. Just balance it out. Why not go home after the Bhagavatam? Take good rest for the day. What is the importance of Purushottam month? Prabhupada doesn't even mention it anywhere in the Veda base. Type in Purushottam month in the Veda base, Prabhupada never even mentions it. Although it is certainly a good opportunity, it's a very special time that only comes periodically, if not every year. You can take it as an opportunity to do anything to increase your Krishna consciousness. It's a great opportunity to increase your Krishna consciousness. We should take every opportunity to increase our Krishna consciousness. Why wait to Purushottama month? Should always be, but since now it's Purushottama month, I can say now you must especially take advantage to try to become a pure devotee this month. That's the real way. Try to say now, let me try to become a pure devotee in this Purushottama month. Okay. How to understand the ecstasies in Krishna consciousness? By experiencing them through sincere, loving, devotional service, then you'll experience the ecstasies of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it's confusing whether I'm undergoing ecstasy or sentimental show. That will be seen by your service attitude. If you're going into so-called ecstasy and they ask you to scrub the pots, you can say, please don't disturb my ecstasy. Then you know it's sahaja, it's not real ecstasy. But if you're in ecstasy, crying in the kirtan, and they ask you to clean the pots, then you become even more enlightened. Oh, I was chanting Hare Krishna, and now Krishna has come.
in the form of devotional service to bless me that I can become even more purified. I was so purified by that wonderful kirtan, and now I can purify myself even more by scrubbing this path. Then you know your ecstasy is genuine. If the service becomes increases the ecstasy, then you know you're on the right track. Okay, let's see if I did this one. Okay. I did not take up Krishna consciousness early enough. Bewildered as to why, or rather to when and how I will be able to read, hear, and understand shastras, I feel overwhelmed. Any guidance? Well, it's never too late. Everybody begins it at a certain point. So why you should lament? Just be happy that you've been blessed with the opportunity to take up Krishna consciousness now. Bhaktivedanta Thakur advises in this connection, forget the past that sleeps and never the future dream at all. Act in times that are with thee and progress thee shall call. Why are you all lamenting? Oh, I didn't do it earlier. Why don't you do it now? Why don't you? We can use that be here now in Krishna, that famous thing the Mahabharata said, be here now. You can use that in Krishna consciousness. Be here now for Krishna. Why are you lamenting about the past? Why didn't I get up earlier? No, do it now. That's all. Embrace the process now. That's all you have to do. Okay. All right, so we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for your coming here to, on this auspicious day to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Isme seva sankalp das adhikari Maharaj ki
jai.
My disciples have brought my book in here called Truth Work. Anybody who's interested in a copy? Available. Okay. Anybody's in?